Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. I know what people think when they hear the word Judgment Day, because it's what I think, too. I picture a very misty horizon, maybe a pearly gate. If not a pearly gate, most certainly a throne. Maybe some angels in attendance, scrolls or books, they're holding them. Perhaps there's St. Peter or someone else standing at a podium. One by one, we're all called up. It's hardly going to fit in with a day if this is the scenario that really is going to unfold on the last day when Christ returns. And one by one, the deeds done here in the body are rehearsed and as they've been recorded. Good, bad, ugly, everything. And then the man who sits on the throne, Jesus Christ, scratches his chin, furrows his brow, says, "All right. I'll give you a pass. Come on in." Reluctant, but there, that poor sinner, perhaps it's you, perhaps it's me, with head lowered, walks through the pearly gate, having made it in by the skin of his teeth or her teeth. I know that's what you think about Judgment Day because, honestly, that's what I think, and I should know better, but that's the image that sticks in my mind. Is anybody going to squeak by? Is Judgment Day a prospect of fear, or is it something that we ought to approach in faith? We're going to talk about Judgment Day. The church will very soon begin the season of Advent, which focuses on the coming of the judgment and the judgment that's already come. Pastor Bill Swirl is our guest for the next half hour of the program. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us right here in the studio this Monday afternoon, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Bill Swirla is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, co-host of the internet radio program called The God Whisperers. Bill, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd.
Do you think in this 21st century, with pretty much the world falling around about our ears right now, here and now, we've lost the sense that Judgment Day really is coming?
Yes and no. I think you alluded to the sense of the world falling apart around us, and there really is a sense, I think, of things coming unraveled that we never thought would come unraveled. You know, the state of the economy, the state of the world as it is, the rise of religions like Islam, which are really a direct threat to Christianity, the waning of the church in places where the church used to be a stronghold, you know, and I'm thinking in Northern Europe and things like that. I think you'd have to be pretty much deaf and blind to the news to not wonder what the heck is going on here. That's the yes part. The no part is I think that societally we've all sort of become Darwinists in a sense, and we just kind of figured that, well, this is just kind of progress on to something better. And, you know, it'll all work out somehow in some evolutionary scheme in the long run. But I don't think we have a sense of finality, you know, this idea of a curtain call. And the idea that the curtain's going to drop on this creation one day with a great suddenness and without any warning. And I think that kind of urgency is largely lost today.
I do want to talk about the Judgment Day that is to come, but do you think to the degree that we have lost the sense that that one is coming, is that due to the fact that Christians may be, in some sense, ignorant of the Judgment Day that already has come in Jesus Christ?
Yeah, good question. I think that what's happened with this whole notion of the end times has gotten terribly distorted by, you know, the pulp fiction like the Left Behind series, which presents a, you know, one interpretation of it, but unfortunately it's a very, you know, fantastical interpretation that almost lends to not taking it seriously, especially if you're reading it as an outsider. And coupled with that is this now not yet tension of the judgment. Jesus referred to his own death as a judgment. It's the judgment of the world because he, in his flesh, literally embodies the creation. And so he takes the whole creation, all of humanity, into the judgment in his own body. So in a very real sense, Good Friday is Judgment Day. And it has all the earmarks of Judgment Day, you know, earthquake, darkness, you know, it has all those eschatological signs. And so in one sense, you could say that in Christ, in the sense that we're speaking in Christ, the world has been judged already. And yet there is a coming day of judgment. And I think that paradoxical tension is the key to understanding the whole thing, that the one who comes to judge the living and the dead is the one who was judged for the living and the dead.
The notion of its eminence, that it is near. I mean, Scripture is replete, Old Testament and New Testament. The day is surely coming and is drawing near. And then Jesus talks about it being practically here. And the apostle will say things like, "It's close upon us. It's going to happen," as though they expect it to happen momentarily. And yet, at least from those events, at least 2,000 years have passed. What do we do with this waiting that we're in the middle of?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul, I think if you read between the lines in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul clearly anticipates that he will be alive at the coming of Christ. You know, he says, "We who are alive," because he's referring to those who have died and Christ hadn't come yet, and people are a little concerned about what was going to be with them. But Paul says, "We who are alive," there's a real anticipation, I think, with Paul, and at that point that the Christians anticipated Christ to come back in their generation. In fact, you could interpret something he said in his sort of apocalyptic discourse where he said this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. And yet, that, if you look carefully, that's a little bit of doublespeak there. He's speaking both of the destruction of Jerusalem as a judgment day, and also then the last day in kind of one breath, so it's tricky. When you get to 2 Timothy, though, Paul realizes that he's going to die. And so he's looking ahead to receiving this crown of life that the Lord will give him on the day of his appearing. See, so Paul's kind of retooled that. And I think the church had to retool that as well. And I think the church always lives in this dynamic tension that Jesus' final words are, "I come quickly." I don't like the translation, "I'm coming soon," because soon kind of puts it on the clock. I think the Greek taku is better translated quickly, not when he comes, but how he comes.
Suddenly?
Yeah, suddenly without warning, like a thief in the night, like lightning flashing from the east to the west. People are out in the fields or they're doing their vocations, and boom, that's it, you know, end of story. And I think that suddenly and without warning is the hallmark of the Christian understanding of the end of the age, that every day is a potential last day and should be lived like that, hopeful expectation, longing, eagerness.
So we who are alive now, should we parrot Paul's enthusiasm for the coming of Christ even while we yet live in this body?
Yeah, that's probably not a bad idea. I think Paul models really in whether that's a slip of the tongue or just kind of a what I would call a kind of something the Holy Spirit tosses in for us to think about. I think that that attitude is certainly the Christian attitude, that this conversation may not end until the great and glorious day of our Lord. And living that way doesn't mean we live paralyzed. Oh, you know, one of those parables of judgment talks about the paralysis of fear, that the servant that had the single talent buried it, or in another version, hid it in a sock drawer because he was afraid of his master. That's not the attitude for the end times. The end times calls for boldness, and it calls for diligence in vocation and people being about their duties, and yet there's that eye focused on the horizon because we know the sun is rising. We know there's going to be a dawning day, and we can't wait for it. So we're kind of caught between that now and not yet.
You know, it's even with things falling apart, Bill, you said we can't wait for it. I wonder, there are times in my life when I say that sincerely. Usually it's when, you know, the storm of excrement has begun in smaller great forms. And I'll say, man, it can't come soon enough.
Right. Come, Lord Jesus.
But then there are times when I'm sitting at home and the kids are all snug in bed and my wife and I are enjoying some moments alone and all is well with the world. And I can't honestly say, in that moment, I would say, can't come soon enough.
Well, you know, you in your introduction, I think you raised a really important thing, and that is the day of the Lord is like everything else the Lord does. It's a law and gospel event. And the parables of judgment all have this, you know, five bridesmaids are in, five got a locked door in their face. You know, the parable of the talents, same way sheep and the goats. You know, there are goats in this parable. And so the day of the Lord is something to be feared and expected and with excitement at the same time. Like in the commandments, we get the fear and love. I don't expect this to be a giddy day as a baptized believer. I expect it to be, as the prophets say, a day of wrath and of terror. You know, Peter says that the elements will be melted. There's nothing left. The whole thing is just being brought into a cosmic death. This is not, from an earthly perspective, going to be, oh, happy day. And yet there's this great confidence that the one who is coming and bringing all this on is precisely the one who has already rescued us from you know, sin, death, hell, judgment, destruction. And, you know, it's kind of like being snatched right out of the flames.
Let's talk about that on the other side of the break. That's interesting because that's actually a biblical image, just getting snatched right out of the flames. Everything is falling apart, and yet somehow— well, there's really no somehow to it. We know how. We survive. And we're saved. And we're safe. It's Monday, November the 24th. I'm Todd Wilkin. What kind of questions do you have about Judgment Day? Call or email during this break, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. What will you say? Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Treasury of Daily Prayer is truly a treasure chest of devotional gems for church, school, and home.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Bill Swirla, on the new devotional book, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
It is a great contribution to Christian prayer and devotion, bringing together scripture, devotional readings, psalms, and hymns into one book for pastors and people.
Find out more about Treasury of Daily Prayer at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling 1-800-325-3040.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Phyllis Masurla, Mark Irwin, Linda Wolf, Tom Wemlinger, Karen Deerking, Travis Sabitz, Michael and Brandy Shauneman, Pastor Eric Zacharias, Pastor Stephen Becker, and Carl Pertuit. Thanks for your support.
Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest. We're talking about Judgment Day. He's pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, co-host of the internet radio program, The God Whispers. Do you have any questions or comments, fears, concerns about Judgment Day? Give us a call now, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. By the way, go to our website over the Thanksgiving break, click the on-demand section there, and take a listen to The God Whispers. I recommend it. It's very interesting. Pastor Bill Swirla and his sidekick, or I don't know if we would call him a sidekick or a wingman, Craig D'Onofrio, The God Whisperers. Are you both God Whisperers, or are you the God Whisperer and he's just the assistant whisperer?
No, we are plural whisperers.
Good. Good. What is your little tagline? It's something about, you know, because I watch The Dog Whisperer, love the show. My wife is actually in love with Caesar. She openly tells
yeah,
me
right.
this. Yeah. But he has this thing, I train people or I rehabilitate dogs or something like that. What's yours?
Yeah, it's Craig put that together when we first came up with the name, and it's something like we reinstate God, we retrain people. For people with a God problem, you know, you say you have a God problem. No, God's not the problem. And there's kind of a correspondence to the dog whisperer. You know, people think their dog is the problem, but it's not. They're the problem. They just need to be retrained.
Well,
that's what we do. We retrain people.
That's good. And although I cannot say that either of you have the bright shining teeth and kind of Latin flavor that Caesar Milan brings to his particular version of the show.
That's why it's radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Radio is important, as you and I both know. You know, radio is a great place to hide.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If people could only see me now.
Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned before the break, it's like getting snatched out of the fire, which I think is an allusion to even Paul talking about everything getting all burnt up, even our works, and yet we survive somehow. What's Paul talking about there?
Yeah, Paul is picking up. I believe that's 2 Corinthians. Where he talks about the work of the builder. And here he's referring to his apostolic ministry and others are building on this foundation of Christ. And, you know, you build with straw or hay or stubble or gold or precious jewels. And he likens the judgment day to a day where it's like putting ore, crude ore, through the fire. And the good stuff remains. And he talks about the worker will be saved, but it will be as through fire. I like to summarize that this way, is that we are not judged by our works. You know, Paul's very clear on that in all his writings. We're not judged by our works, but our works are judged. And that paradox is something that I think gives that day of the Lord, that last day, that both fear and anticipation polarity that I think is appropriate for a law gospel event.
Okay,
I was doing a little search during the break, and in all the Old Testament prophets, the day of the Lord is not a good day. You know, in fact, Amos says, "Don't even say, you know, bring it on. That you don't want it." You know, and he's talking to a very complacent, sleepy, self-secure Israel. He goes, no, you don't want the day of the Lord. And so, you know, Paul and others, Paul especially, paints a much brighter image. And the Revelation, I think, paints a very bright image of the day of the Lord for those who belong to the Lamb, those who have His mark, those who are baptized. It is a great and wonderful day.
Well, one more question on the works aspect of this. You said we are not judged by our works, but our works are judged. So should we think of it in terms of the famous parable of the sheep and the goats, where even before any works are mentioned or examined, the judgment is already made, the division is already made between blessed of my Father and you workers of unrighteousness?
Yeah, precisely. They are judged on the basis of what they are, not what they did. And what they did is consistent with what they are. But the real key in the question of the parable is, what are you? Are you sheep or goat? Now what are you doing? And I would say that there's a nice verse, I use it at funerals all the time. I think it's Revelation 13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord henceforth. And the Spirit responds, blessed indeed, says the Spirit, for they rest from their labors and their works do follow them. So our works do not precede us, they follow us. And I think therein lies the key. That's kind of the ultimate vindication of the Lutheran formula of justified by grace through faith apart from works. Our justification, our status before God, our salvation is not dependent on works, yet our works do follow us in the way of the sheep who received this praise for the hidden mystery that all these things that they did, just because they needed to be done, were done for the Master. And when I preached on it on Sunday, I actually said, that's a glorious promise. I don't know, you know, people really want to turn that into some kind of horrible thing. That you, as often as you've done it to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it to me. That's a great promise and a great revelation of a hidden thing we wouldn't have known. Christ was there. Wow.
I painted a picture at the beginning of our conversation of kind of the typical, what we imagine Judgment Day must be like. There's Jesus sitting on the throne. And if you make it in, you make it in by the skin of your teeth. And he pretty much just gives you a pass. And like a teacher reluctantly passing a kid that he doesn't want to have to repeat the class because he's kind of tired of dealing with them, Jesus is going to let you in. But he's going to do it reluctantly. Is any of this true about Judgment Day?
You know, images, all these images, whether of heaven and hell and judgment, you know, I mean, we're trying to put together some of the biblical images. Some are poetic, some are... You know, they're there, but they're certainly there in analogical terms. They're there. Peter talks about the elements melting. You know, so that's going to be one hot day. You talk about global warming. You know, this is the ultimate. This is cosmic warming to the nth degree. I don't think we have anything quite like it. This is the other side of the creation. How do you envision the creation happening? You know, how do you envision that sentence, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? What comes to mind? There's no visual for that because it's completely outside the realm of our experience. And I think the judgment day, the day of the Lord, that's just the bookend to that first day, the last day. And it's equally as unimaginable. You really have to just kind of impose your own kind of analogy, images to it. Personally, I kind of liken it to falling down a black mine shaft, and you hear a voice saying, "Relax, I'll catch you." The ride is still terrifying. I don't care, you know, even if it's a soft landing at the other end, the ride is not going to be a happy one, and that's kind of what Christ has said by way of his death and resurrection. Relax, trust me, I've got you covered. You know, I'll catch you.
So when we have passed through the judgment on that day, and I'm talking here in terms of chronologically passing through the judgment, for the Bible's quite clear that those who are in Christ already have passed through the judgment how he was judged for us. But when we have passed through it, will it be, I'm letting you slide by this time kind of a thing?
I don't get the impression that this is kind of like going to night court. Remember that old TV show? You know, it's kind of just this bogus rigged court. The images of heaven and stuff are glorious for the justified. You know, and that's a wonderful thing. But getting there, no, I don't think it's that skin of the teeth. I think it's confronted, again, law and gospel. It's confronted at once, I believe, with full blast law. This is the extent of your sin. And it's full blast gospel. This is how great a Savior you have. You know, it's like turning the volume, the bass, the treble, all the way up to just, you know, just screeching high. And because remember that the line between sheep and goats runs between you and me, too. Not between us, but right through each of us. You know, if we take seriously simul justus et peccator, simultaneously a sinner and a saint. And I see the judgment in part as basically finally, once and for all, getting rid of sin. That's a wonderfully painful process, I would imagine.
Pastor Bill Swirla is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, co-host of the internet radio program called The God Whispers. Go to our website tonight and take a listen. This Thanksgiving break is a great time at your leisure. Go to issuesetc.org, click on demand. You'll find a link there to The God Whispers and to Pastor Bill Swirla. Thanks for being our guest, Bill.
Thank you, Todd.
Oh, man, I don't want to hear it. I do not want to know what that book says, because I know one thing. Although I am confronted with my sin daily, I don't know the depth of it or the breadth of it. Certainly no, I don't. I can only imagine. I have not begun to plumb the depths of my rebellion and hostility toward God according to my old nature. I do not want to hear it. That's the thing I dread about Judgment Day, is having it all laid bare. That's the law. But Bill's quite right. What follows the law there is nothing but pure, sheer gospel. Sheer gospel for the rest of all time and eternity. No more law. The law will finally, once and for all, be silenced against me on that day, for Christ will step up and say, I took it all. I paid it all. I stand in your place on this day just as surely as I stood in your place on the day when I was judged in the place of the world in my death and my suffering. And I have been raised from the dead, and I've raised you from the dead for a reason. I want you to live with me forever. You belong here. Or as he puts it in that famous parable, come thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. When we come back, we'll review a sermon on the wise and foolish virgins, Pastor David Peterson, and then we'll talk about Clement of Rome a little later. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.